Hi, everybody. Dennis Prager in my home with my dog. His name is Otto, O-T-T-O. And many of you always include regards to Otto. And the thought that I should give him a rub, good, you're a good man, Otto. Otto, I have to say, has not been affected by the tensions in America at this time. He's sort of oblivious, I have to admit. And sometimes I envy him. But he has this what-me-worry attitude to life. And when he snores, I get relaxed. I mean, I'm pretty relaxed anyway. It's my temperament. I am very lucky. Anyway, hello from my home. The Fireside Chat is every week. I get to think and express my thoughts to you without any footnotes. No, not footnotes. Without any, what are they called again? When you read off the screen, teleprompter. No teleprompter, yeah. So then I take your questions, and I do want to remind you, by the way, about Fireside Chat. If you are touched by these, please know, what are we up to, about 150-something?
161.
This is Fireside Chat 161. Any of them would be beneficial to you, I believe. In other words, if you find today's beneficial, you will find number 103 and number 57 also beneficial. Because I try to offer thoughts about life, even though it might be about a specific moment in time. So anyway, I want to talk to you about a number of aspects on the lockdown issue, which I have opposed from the outset. I called the lockdowns the world's biggest mistake. And that was in March or April. And I was condemned and I was ridiculed and I was right. That's the irony. I'm not happy I was right, but I was right. See, perhaps the most mature question a person could ask about any decision, and when you think about it, it really is just about any decision, is what is the cost? What is the price? Now, I've mentioned this, but it's been a while. So if you buy something, the first thing you ask is how much does it cost? What's the price? So you determine, is it worth the price of X amount of money to get that item? Every time you buy something, you are weighing the benefit of the item versus the cost of the money. So if the cost is too much, whatever the benefits, you won't buy it. Right? That's the way all of life works. I'll give you any number of examples. My favorite, because they're so dramatic, should I get married? There's a cost to getting married. There's a price in marriage. But there's also a price in not marrying, in staying single. Now, if you don't know the costs of either, you cannot make a mature, intelligent, wise decision for yourself. These are the costs of marriage. And I don't mean financial costs, though that might be one of the costs. And these are the costs of staying single. If you think getting married has no price, you're being naive. And if you don't think that single has no price, you're being naive. They both have prices. So you have to maturely decide, which price do I want? So in getting married, there is a compromise on your freedom. Obviously, you can't do whatever you want anytime you want as if you're single. Now, if that's the most important thing to you, stay single. And if you stay single, the price is you don't have a companion through life. Now, you may say, I don't kind of want a companion through life. Okay, so good. But at least know that. There are overwhelming benefits, in my opinion, to having someone that is your friend. I mean, to live with your friend, usually of the opposite sex, that's a terrific thing. Now, I fully acknowledge, and I've gone through it, I as I always say, there's nothing better than a good marriage, and there's nothing worse than a bad marriage. People are so afraid, though, of a bad marriage that they don't get married. But that's like saying, I'm afraid of a car crash, so I won't drive. Doesn't make sense to me. You don't live life fearing what could happen bad. Then it's no life. So same with children. What are the benefits of having children? What are the benefits of not having children? What are the costs of having children? What are the costs of not having children? To me, I always opt for what will enrich my life. What will make my life fuller? I don't want to die having not experienced the fullness of life. I felt that when I was 15, and I feel that today. It was a great decision on my part. It entailed pain. There is usually pain in marriage and children. There is pain. I have been divorced. I know the pain of that. I wouldn't take anything back. And I am incredibly grateful to have led a full life because of these decisions. So now we come to the lockdown. What's the cost of a lockdown? What's the cost of not locking down? That's the only question that is mature and responsible. So we are only told the price of no lockdown. More people will die. The number of decisions we make in life for society where more people will die is very large. More people will die when we raise the speed limits. You know that? Thousands of people guaranteed every year will die if we raise the speed limit from, in America, 55 miles per hour to, let's say, 65 or 65 to 75 and so on. But we still do it. Now, why is that? Because saving a life, while that's the greatest thing an individual might be able to do, that is not the greatest thing that a government should be able to do. A government has much larger questions than will anybody die because of this policy. People die when a country goes to war. So you should take the pacifist notion. I'll never fight a war, but there's a price to be paid if you don't fight a war. You get conquered. Now, you say, so what? Right? That's a possible option. So what? That was basically Gandhi's view. Gandhi was a pacifist, told the Jews not to fight the Nazis. A lot of people don't know it, but you could look it up. It's really remarkable. You'll be a great model to the Germans and to the world if you don't fight the Nazis. Meanwhile, if they didn't fight the Nazis, they got exterminated, which is what happened. Every aspect of the lockdown revolves around those questions. So I'd like to tell you, as I have, and I've written, some of the costs, the tens of millions of people, and this is just America, I actually care about the whole world, the vast numbers of people who have lost all of their money, who have no work. Do you know what happens to people when no one in the family can earn money? Even if they do get money from the government or from some charity, do you know why men jumped out of windows during the Depression, the suicide among men? Because when you, especially for a man, when you remove the ability to provide for a family to a man, you have in effect castrated him. I'm using a very severe parable or analogy, but that's really what it does. We get a much of our meaning from the ability to provide for a family. This, maybe it's right, maybe it's wrong, but that's a big part of our self-image and our identity and our sense of worth. People need a sense of worth. The deprivation of this, I'm not talking about the people, hundreds of millions in the world, according to the UN, that are on the brink of starvation because of lockdowns. Remember, if there's no business here, then we're not buying goods from Bangladesh. So the guy or the woman making stuff in Bangladesh is now impoverished. They were making a living until the lockdowns in the West, because the buyers in the West stopped buying what they were making in Bangladesh, but the Bangladeshi government doesn't have the money to support them. What do they do? Or India and so many other places. Talking about irrational lockdowns in Africa, where there are so few deaths, unbelievably few, they still lock down. And now people, again, are back to the brink of starvation in vast parts of Africa. There was an article in the New York Times about truckers in Africa who have no goods to bring. And if they bring the goods, they have to wait at the border till they get themselves checked for COVID. But nobody's dying of COVID in any large numbers in Africa. It's useless. By the way, none of this is political. You may think it's political, but it isn't. Because right-wing regimes have also done this. Israel, India, Britain is conservative. No, in the United States, it's political. Republican governors do not lock down their states nearly as quickly or as often as Democratic governments. So in America, there is a political. And by the way, the one country that didn't have a lockdown is not a conservative country by any means, Sweden. Sweden is the proof that lockdowns are useless. Sweden did not lock down. They're 20th in the world, in per capita deaths. And the number keeps getting lower. They'll probably be 25th. They never once, not one day, did they shut schools for kids under 16 years of age. At the height of the pandemic in the spring, they were still going to school in Sweden. Almost nobody wears masks in Sweden. Why aren't they dying on the streets? Probably because of herd immunity. So many people got it in some way that they're probably now immune, as if they got a vaccine. Sweden, thank God for Sweden. It provided the world this test. People say, well, follow the science. No, they don't mean that. That is a phony phrase. They mean follow the scientists we agree with. The people who say follow the science are lying to you and to themselves. They don't follow the science. They follow the scientists they agree with. Read the Great Barrington Declaration. Epidemiologists from Oxford, Harvard, and Stanford universities headed a massive number of people in the sciences who were against lockdowns. It wasn't even reported in the mainstream news on television or in print. It wasn't even reported because the left doesn't agree with the Great Barrington Declaration. They want people to believe all science says lockdown. You know who supports lockdowns, by and large? People who have their jobs and incomes. For them, a lockdown is a lot easier than for the poor guy who invested his whole life's savings in his little restaurant in Chicago. That guy it's all lost. I don't know how he'll recover. Oh, no indoor dining. You can have indoor dining in an airplane. Why can't you have indoor dining in a restaurant? Nobody's ever answered that one for me. I've been on airplanes quite a few times during this time. I took my mask off and dined. You can't dine with a mask on. And they weren't 8 feet away from me. They were a foot or 5 inches away from me. People not dying from airplane travel. Why not? Indoor dining's fine on airplanes. You know why? Because the governments think that airlines must survive. And they're right. I agree with that. Why doesn't the little guy who owns a restaurant have to survive? Because the little guy doesn't mean a damn to the left. That's the irony. They speak in their names, but they don't care about them. Anyway, the small business owner is probably not a Democrat anyway. So what? So if he goes out of business, so what? There's always the big guys who are big contributors to the Democratic Party. It's a very sad situation. So we're told, don't get together for the holidays. I will. Having the same number of people for Thanksgiving as I did last year. And I'll be one of the older ones at the gathering. I am more at risk than the younger ones. My daughter-in-law just got COVID just yesterday. Spoke to her today on the phone. How are you? I got a sniffle. That's her COVID experience. The vast majority of people under 70, that's their COVID experience, a sniffle. Of course, there are people who die from it under 60. There are people who die in car crashes. Nobody's advocating not driving. It's been an immoral thing all over the world. I'll end with one thing. I've been really racking my brain to figure out why our leaders, right and left, why are they so pro-lockdown? This is what I think. I may be wrong. This is my theory. These people are frightened beyond words of going down in history as under their watch, the following number of their countrymen died. That's what I think it's about. The governor of New York State, when he locked down New York State, which was completely immoral, why was Syracuse and Buffalo and little towns upstate New York, why were they locked down when all the deaths were in New York City? It's an incredibly immoral thing to do. Anyway, he said at the time, if everything I do saves one life, I will be happy. The governor of New York, Governor Cuomo. Really? If all the people you put out of work just saves one life, you'll be happy? These are people who never ask, what is the price? Okie doke. Question, video question, take it away.
Hi there, Mr. Prager. My name is Rina Youssef, and I'm a 20-year-old Egyptian-Australian currently residing in Melbourne, Victoria. You recently mentioned that a lot of young Jews are leaning towards the left, and that's primarily due to the fact that they conflate conservatism with Nazism. So could you please expand on that and also outline other factors that have contributed to this political conversion? Thank you, and God bless.
Now, is she special or is she special? An Egyptian Australian asking me why Jews conflate conservatism and Nazism. I love it. I do love it. You are very impressive. I hope we meet one day. Alf Shukran means 1,000 thanks in Arabic. But Megan knew it. Why am I explaining it to Megan? I can't believe it. Megan's married to a Filipino, so obviously she would know Arabic.
Course.
Exactly. Oh, by the way, in Tagalog, it's salamat, correct? Thank you.
Huh? Salamat,
yeah. Okay. Good man or husband. But you have never seen his arm. All right. It's not just young Jews, Reina. It's Jews in general. Who identify not conservatism as much as just right wing. The word right wing for most Jews immediately conjures up a swastika in their mind. That's a big part of the issue. Hitler was called right wing. The Jews believe he is right wing. I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm not saying they're right. I'm just telling you what it is. Hitler was not right wing and Hitler was not left wing. Remember, Nazism stands for National Socialism. Most 99% of humanity doesn't know that, but that's what Nazism means, National Socialism. So it's just worth noting. Hitler was race-based. Race-based is not left-wing or right-wing. It's just sick. And anyway, whatever the issue is, the left hated him, so therefore he's called right. All right, so Jews bought this, which is understandable, not correct, but understandable. And it's not a debate I ever get into, was Hitler right or left? Okay, Hitler was sui generis. In other words, his own unique thing. But again, that's beside the point. Jews identify right wing with anti-Semitism. It's instinctive, this reaction. It is not thought through. And I'll give you my great analogy. Imagine your grandfather was killed by a hit and run driver coming from the right. Right? You cross the street coming from the right. A hit and run driver killed your grandfather. So would you, when you cross the street, only look at the right when you cross the street for hit and run drivers? That's what Jews have done. They got hit from the right. They only look to the right, like they can't get hit from the left. But the place of most anti-Semitism today in America and the West is the left. Jeremy Corbyn in Britain, head of the Labour Party, was an anti-Semite. And the number of anti-Semites on the left in the U.S. dwarfs the number of anti-Semites on the right. The right are the Jews' best friends right now in almost every country. But what are you going to do? Most people do not think in life. Most people react. They don't think things through. It doesn't shock me. I never had a high view of humanity. I have a high view of humans. There are wonderful, spectacular humans in this world. Humanity is unimpressive. And that's the way it is. It's completely unthought through, but that's the reason. All right. Let's go to more of your questions. How are we doing on time?
22.
Great. Sam, 12 years old, Stillwater, Minnesota. Hi, Dennis. Hi, Sam. I was wondering if the left will shut down the country again and make the small businesses fail and what we should do to stop it. P.S. I saw you at the Minnesota State Fair as a baby and got a picture. It was great. Is that awesome? So Sam is 12 now. So this was, you know, like 11 years ago. That's great. We should get another picture, but I am not returning to the Minnesota State Fair. I am Minnesota State Fair'd out. That is about as hot an environment as you can enter without being hospitalized. The Minnesota State Fair in August? Anyway, I love visiting Minnesota. I've probably been there 24 times. But that is adorable that there's a picture of you and me in when you were a baby. That's sweet. So the question is, what could we do about it? About the small businesses failing? What should we do to stop it? Don't listen to the governors. They have no right to tell you you can't make an income. None. They are tyrants. But you see, we accept the tyranny because it's done in the name of health. Every nation has accepted tyranny. Every nation that has had tyrants has accepted tyranny in the name of something terrific or something they believed in. The current god is health. So for the god of health, we can ruin tens of millions of lives. We could have more people go on drugs, more people become alcoholic, more addicts who are recovering regress and go back to drinking or go back to drugs or go back to gambling or go back to whatever their addiction was. That's okay, because it's all done in the name of health. Safetyism, it's called. So don't listen. This has disturbed me greatly about the American people. I had not only an affection for, but a belief that this was a people that really loved liberty. And I turned out to be wrong. The left has done its damage. Americans loved liberty until the last two generations. In the 1968-69, there was a huge epidemic, the Hong Kong flu. Took the equivalent of 165,000 American lives. Nothing closed down. Nothing. Not one store, not one business, not one restaurant, not one school. It's a different America today because the left has been able to raise two more generations through the media and through academia. Stan, 28, Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Been to Cherry Hill a number of times, right outside of Philadelphia. Do you think the people supporting socialism, Marxism, realize there is no way back to freedom once they vote for socialism? They don't think they're voting for socialism, and many, well, I take that back. Socialism does not have a dirty name now. Because people don't know history. You're not taught history at high school or college. I've always said I would like to give a test to Harvard students. I don't care, even seniors. Identify the Gulag Archipelago. If you don't know what the Gulag Archipelago is, that's a very bad sign. I wonder how many know who Stalin was. I'll bet you almost none know who Pol Pot was, the communist leader in Cambodia who killed a third of his people. Or the Great Leap Forward in China, which ultimately caused about 60 million, 40 to 70 million Chinese to starve to death. Deliberately, Mao sent the food to Russia, the Soviet Union, to get arms because he wanted to have a great military power. Yep. David, 20, Slovenia. I was in Slovenia. Had a great time. Hi, Dennis. This is a short one. How does one acquire wisdom? That is awesome. By the way, the short ones are the toughest. In episode 158, you talk about courage. You said something to the effect, to be courageous, you have to want to be courageous. That's exactly what I said. Is it similar with wisdom? Where to start? Thank you. And can you give a rub to the producer, Megan? Otto already gets enough. That is a very good point. Are you feeling neglected, Megan?
Not really.
Not really. Good. Okay. But it was a very thoughtful thing. That was very sweet. Okay. So that's right. Is it dissimilar with wisdom? Yes. The first step to becoming wise is wanting to be wise. But if I gave a list of things to high school students, how old are you? Let's see, 20. And 20-year-olds, and 20-year-olds in Slovenia or in New Jersey, if I gave a list, what do you most want to be? And wise was one of them. I have a feeling famous would beat it out, smart would beat it out, successful would beat it out, happy would beat it out. Rich would beat it out. Good looking would beat it out. Wise? Nobody thinks about it. I thought about it because I've always had an innate desire to get wisdom. But the other is I studied in a religious school. That's the beauty of religious schools. That they teach you wisdom. There's no wisdom taught in schools today. That's the whole point. That's the difference between secular education and religious education. You may get a better education in trigonometry in a secular school, but you'll get more wisdom in a religious school. In a good religious school, obviously. There are probably lousy religious schools. But that's what I got. And the fact that you want to be wise, that's it. That's beautiful. That really is half the issue. Then you search for meaning and for wisdom. And one way of getting wisdom is to always ask the question, what is the price paid for X? Big government is another perfect example of what I was talking about at the outset. The advantages of big government takes care of more people. The disadvantage of big government takes care of more people. The price and the advantage are the identical thing. Like the problem, there's a big problem when the government takes care of more people. You don't. If the government takes care of me, my family, and my community, then I don't take care of me, my family, and my community, correct? That's why Americans give more charity than Europeans. because Americans have been raised to we take care of each other. Europeans have been raised, the government takes care of us. That's why in America, conservatives give more charity than liberals. Because they, and devote more time to volunteering. Because they're not going to wait for the government to do it. The more people get used to the government taking care of others, they stop taking care of others. See my speech on the internet at the University of Wyoming, how socialism makes you selfish. Good luck there. David in Slovenia. What's our timing?
30.
On the nose. I have more great questions, but I don't have more great time. Anyway, my thought is it is better to leave you wanting more than not. Or as I always say at speeches, from the beginning of my speaking career, I believed it is better for the speaker to leave before the audience does. That's with that not terribly profound thought. Thank you for being with me. I'm Dennis Prager. This is the Fireside Chat, and I will see you next week. Thank you for watching this video. To help keep PragerU videos free, please consider making a tax-deductible donation.